And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, August 31st, Labor Day weekend. It is here. We come to you coast to coast from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks every single day on WrestlingObserver.com, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, all of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM. Kids, if you don't know what that means, ask your parents. iHeart, TuneIn, everywhere you get a signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice, and for that, I give thanks. Of course, I also give thanks to everyone listening on the American Forces Network around the world. We thank you for your service each and every day, regardless of where you are stationed in this fine globe of ours. I may be with you for the next hour. Yes, a one-hour show this week. A lot to talk about. I will say there is going to be no WWE Clash in Paris talk today. There is going to be none. The reason is because there's a lot of other talk about that going on WrestlingObserver.com and YouTube and all over the place anyway. I'm going to let everyone else do it. So I'm going to talk about some other topics of the weekend, some AEW stuff as well. AEW Collision happened last night. We'll chat about that and kind of the lack of buzz, the feeling coming out of Forbidden Door. It's been a thing of AEW. Happens all the time. We'll chat about how I think All Out will perform pay-per-view-wise against WrestlePalooza coming up on September 20th. We'll also talk about a little bit more about Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor, and why I think in a potential disastrous situation on Friday may have been a blessing in disguise for Tony Khan, and his decision they should make, I think, should be really easy. We'll talk about afternoon WWE shows on Netflix. We'll talk about Fireball Whiskey. We'll talk about all kinds of other things as well. A very fun edition of Wrestling Observer Live comes up. My last one for the summer. Andrew Zeri returns next week, but I'm going to be with you for the next hour. So after these messages from our very important sponsors, we're going to get right to it. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason comes right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason returns. It is Sunday, August 31st. Yes, Labor Day weekend, as I've mentioned before. It is here, in case you don't know, here in the United States, the gateway to the fall. Summer truly over. It is very sad. Again, if you have kids, you're probably very excited. Perhaps they've already gone back to school. My daughter goes back on Tuesday. My wife, who is a teacher, shout out to all the teachers and families of teachers, especially those like myself who have had to essentially single dad it this past week with my wife had to go back to school for prep and plan and all those type of things. And there was summer camp is all over because all the college kids went back to school. So it's like, okay, we got to figure out what to do with this 9-year-old for a solid 4 or so days. So shout out to all you other parents who went through the same thing. But yeah, it's time. And we have a lot to talk about on this episode. It's my final run here today. Andrew Zeri returns next Sunday. And we'll get too weepy about everything, but we'll talk about the year ahead, the last 4 months ahead. And we'll talk about, of course, what happened last night with AEW Collision. Let's get this thing on the road, shall we? AEW Collision last night, of course, running from Philadelphia as part of the ongoing residency they're doing. They love these residencies now. Makes a lot of sense. You save some money, same location, and you don't have to sell a lot of tickets to do it. Is that the best thing, you know? The whole point of promotion is selling tickets. But, you know, in these cases, they're running a very famed arena, the 2300 Arena, leaning into it. Taz is going to be inducted into their Hall of Fame, the Hardcore Hall of Fame. Apparently, this is happening Wednesday. I thought it was happening last night. And I do some of the preview posts for the website as far as setting them up for our writers. And initially, one that got published was that Taz is getting inducted tonight, because that's what I had thought based on some of the news that had came out this week. But no, he's actually being honored this Wednesday instead, which makes a lot of sense. Because why would you give people, you know, further reason to watch AEW Collision, I guess. My feelings going into the show were a little frustration again, and this has been talked about before. There was like no card. I think there was, as of the afternoon, there was Big Bill and Juice Robinson was announced. And I think that was it. And then slowly but surely, you started having a few tag matches being introduced, this, you know, women's trio match that ended up being the main event of the night with Toni Storm and so on. And I know Tony Khan has mentioned it's a strategy of his to get, you know, buzz on social media. I don't know. I mean, it's also, you know, it's Saturday. It's college football season has just started. A lot of attention being paid to that. You know, people, I'm sure, doing fantasy drafts. And again, it's a weekend. People aren't necessarily glued to their phones all the time. I don't understand the not announcing a card. You know, when I was younger, always a good way to start, right? Back in my day. But one of the things I was excited about, you know, when going to shows was who's going to be on the show? Who am I going to go see? You know, if I'm going to a baseball game or a basketball game, football game, any sport, it's not like they announce the lineups for the first time right when the game's about to start. Not like it's a big secret. You're not wondering if your favorite player is gonna play. You know that well ahead of time. However, you know, with some of these AEW shows, and even for this Wednesday, as we're recording this, you still don't know. There's two matches announced. And part of that, you know, I understand the wanting to get the buzz on social media and whatever, but there's also, it does leave themselves open to, you know, critiquing as far as, do they even know what they have a plan? It's just last second stuff. We've heard before. There are certain little stories of, you know, Tony Khan didn't know what he wanted to do here. He wasn't sure about this, or it was just kind of a last second move. So it does kind of make it feel like that. And again, if you're trying to sell tickets ahead of time, sell this place out, and I assume they're sold out for Wednesday. If not, they'll be close. But it's, again, it's 800 people. You're the second biggest promotion in the States. So you should be, I don't know. The whole thing kind of irked me. The show itself turned up, it's like every collision. It's great wrestling. It is inoffensive when it comes to a pro wrestling product on TV. But again, you come out of it saying, what am I interested in for next week in the show closing angle? You know, it was a really fun women's trios match, and the show closing angle is this, the triangle, this, the group of Sky Blue, Tekla and Julie Hart, and beating up all the baby faces and leaving them laying. And that's kind of the lead. And I assume for next week's collision, but it doesn't really feel like a main event angle. It feels kind of like a mid-card angle. But then again, the show is mainly a lot of mid-carders. And there just wasn't a lot here. There was show is fine overall. I wish there was more. It feels like a 2-hour rampage now, the secondary. And there's this really big drop off. You can feel it from week to week. There's just a big drop off in terms of, you know, the attention and care and just the why should you watch? And I talked about this last time we're on. What is the difference between your promotion? Why do I need to commit this 2 hours to watching your show? In some cases, 3 hours, 2.5, whatever you want to call it, pay-per-views, all that. What is the point of watching it? And if it doesn't feel like the promotion cares that much about, that does translate over into the viewership. Why do I care? Why am I getting so excited about watching this? Is it just out of habit? People have a lot of things to do now, a lot of things to watch. You got to make it feel more more important, more what are you going to do for me? Because eventually it's going to not turn out to be like Rampage, which just felt like very skippable, and then we saw what happened to that. So the show last night was, again, typical mix. We have Daniel Garcia against Blake Christian. That's setting up a match for next week with Jon Moxley. So, you know, they had name. I mean, Jon Moxley was on the show. We had Tony Storm on the show. But in terms of, you know, are they really kind of game changers and interest movers at this point? I don't know. Doesn't feel like it to me. That's up. That we had Kyle Fletcher and Josh Alexander being Tomohiro Ishii and Kyle O'Reilly. That, of course, leading into this Wednesday with the match with the All-Star 8-Man Tag Match, which should be fairly entertaining. A lot of talk about Kenny Omega. Maybe we'll chat about that in a little bit. We had, of course, Hologram taking on Jay Lethal. Let me talk about Hologram for a minute. And I know this has been echoed by Brian Alvarez, easier for me to say, and others. What, he's got this undefeated streak, cool, but what is it leading towards? I think he's won like 30-0. I don't know if those are all singles matches or not, if they're kind of like, you know, tag team matches as wins. But I think he kind of got his buzz, he kind of got taken out by their CMLL relationship and really leaning into that. Contreras, like a high-flying, you know, luchador, Mexican star, he doesn't feel any different. He feels less than when you see these guys from CMLL come in. Like, a Mystico, a Dorada, Neon, and Hechicero, and these really well-established lucha stars from CMLL. Yeah, you put Hologram out there, he feels like a guy in a mask and not that special. And I think the idea is he was special, but really just hasn't felt the weight. Again, no title shots, and you just kind of feel like it's only a matter of time before it just maybe, I don't know, the interest is lost, but I don't know. Something just didn't feel right. It was an entertaining match. Hologram was off early, but you know, I thought Jay Lethal was really good. And then you had the clip at the end with this evil figure, Dark Hologram, clone activated. And this apparently this evil version of Hologram is on its way. Some speculation as far as who that's going to be. You know, some people thought maybe Sammy Guevara, but his dance card seems to be booked after Death Before Dishonor. We'll chat about that a little bit. But yeah, if this is what it's going to take to get him going, I don't know if that's going to work. Of course, Alex Windsor picking up a win, leading to her and Mercedes Moné coming up on Wednesday. FTR defeating JD Drake and Adam Priest, both bald. That leading into, again, just kind of the latest evolution of FTR kind of leading into All Out, really established them as heels. Some backstage stuff, Big Bill against Juice Robinson. And then we had the All-Star Women Trios match, which I talked about a few minutes ago. Just didn't really feel like a must-see collision. And we'll talk more about that and kind of the AEW Dynamite and the follow-up to Forbidden Door. We'll talk about all that more coming after the break. My name is Josh Jason. This is Wrestling Observer Live. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Jason back. We'll wrap up with some AEW talk and start to move into other parts of the Converse, the WWE-verse, and so on and so forth. Again, no Clash in Paris talk today. However, you can hear all about that on Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez, and also with Brian Vinny, which is going up right after the show, which might be playing as a time, as you're hearing this right now. So let's finish up with AEW Collision again. Not much there leading into anything, really. And next week we have John Moxley against Daniel Garcia announced for next Saturday live. We have Mercedes Moné taking on Alex Windsor for the TBS title this Wednesday. And then we also have that All-Star 8-Man, which was announced this past Wednesday. So again, not a ton announced there. The Triangle of Madness, that's what I was trying to think of earlier. So there seem to be the big bads here on AEW Collision. But again, we talked about this before, and others have. The go-home show for Forbidden Door, didn't really do well. Forbidden Door itself was great. Really fun show. Easy show to watch. Afternoon shows for us East Coasters are the absolute best. And the follow-ups with AEW, again, for a long time, just don't really feel like I'm going to say, I keep saying necessary. Like, how's it getting us excited for All Out? Like, we already know we have the Copeland and Christian versus FTR match. So that's good. We kind of knew that. But kind of is like, that's kind of really it that we have for All Out. I mean, Moxley and Darby Allin, clearly that's going to be a match there. Just a question of how many stipulations are going to be attached, how many blood, buckets of blood are going to be spilled in that one. So we'll have that coming up, but that is yet to be announced, but obviously the beginning of that. But we have, you know, what, about 3 weeks to go before that. So it's not like, and I was kind of mentioned that they got to hurry up and get going. Again, I think so many people are used to All Out being the week after or 2 weeks after All In, and it's got to be this rapid fire, go, go, go. For the first time a couple of years, they don't have to do that. They can take their time with it and kind of build to it. And again, you're not going to have this multi-month build, but over the next, you know, I expect we'll get at least two more matches coming up this Wednesday. We'll know for All Out. And so by the end of the week, we'll have, you know, the upper part of the card. We'll see what Hangman Page does. I think a lot of that will, this tag team match is going to come illuminate that. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps we get a Kenny Omega and Hangman Page against the Young Bucks, right? It seems that's been talked about forever. A lot of chat about Kenny Omega and how he looked on Wednesday. A lot of chat. People just think he's a little bit bloated or something. I don't know. There's all types of things. And they wasn't really looking that great. I'm not gonna harp on that too much. It was just a talking point. People, obviously, it's a very cosmetic business. People, if they look a little bit different, people are really just are quick to comment on that, to avoid that, but I did want to make a note that that was certainly a sort of interesting talking point. So I don't know if that's made his way back to Mr. Omega, who seems to be online. So I'm sure he's seen some of that. So on and so forth. But yeah, there doesn't really seem to be a lot of momentum come out for Forbidden Door. I think part of that maybe is my WWE brain, you know, went through the Attitude Era and really through most of the, you know, shows that came up after pay-per-views, you already were like, we're on to the next. We're on to the next. Like, this is the next thing. You're like, oh my God, this is going to be crazy. And you had that feeling coming out of just this forward momentum. And for every reason, AEW really likes to slow pay it. And usually it's the second week after a pay-per-view that you really start to get the big push. But yeah, I thought, again, in our TV era, especially with so many things to watch now, you just can't take those fans for granted when it comes to the show. And sometimes the market on good wrestling has been curbed. You know, you get good wrestling everywhere you go now. It's really hard to find bad wrestling. Even people that don't really prefer the WWE style, they're still, it's not offensive or it's not, you know, it's manageable, I guess. And really, WWE is so much about as the moments and how it makes you feel and the entrances. And it's more of a rock concert with a little bit of wrestling versus a wrestling show with a little bit of the rock concert, if that makes sense. That's where AEW is. And it's good. You know, it's good. It's good to have different stuff. But I just, when you see kind of the collision show and this lack of seeming desire, perhaps it's a little bit delusion, thinking that, oh, we have Moxley making an appearance. We have Tony Storm on here and some really great wrestling. That should be enough. I don't know. I worry about that because you have a lot of great wrestling anyway, and give some people more. Do a bit more. I'll just do more experimentation, you know, try some really different things. And I don't know. We'll see how that goes and how that plays out. Of course, a big weekend for the con companies because we had Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor on Friday night. No one here is talking to these airwaves about the show yet. I haven't got a chance to see the full show. I was out Friday at talk about performers. Something I never said or never thought I'd ever do, friends, was go to see a Queen tribute band. Yes, yours truly and about 11 other people went to Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, went to go see a Queen cover band. I still cannot remember the name of the band, but apparently they play all over the place. I looked yesterday and they're like touring like a regular band. Like they're doing this run through North Carolina, I think, over the next month. And then they're headed to Europe for like 20 dates or so. It's something crazy. Like it's wild. And like, it's not their songs. It's somebody else's. But yeah, that was, I had to miss Death Before Dishonor, however, caught up a little bit. Some of the things that stuck out, the primary thing, and this is coming off last week when we talked about, two weeks ago, we had Forbidden Door last week. And I was not able to do that. So we talked about kind of Ring of Honor and what I want them to be, what we hope them to be, and it being different. What are you going to do to stand out? Why am I going to spend my 3+ hours watching this when I've already watched 10 hours of wrestling during the week, right? And so they had a technical glitch. And they have, of course, if you're an Honor Club subscriber or if you watch it through other means, you weren't able to watch it through their service because Bright Cove, which is a hosting provider or video provider, I believe. I'm familiar with them, but obviously I can't remember what their primary role is. But Bright Cove, there were some technical issues, and thus people could not watch on there. So they made the quick pivot to put on YouTube. So YouTube obviously can be seen by a lot of people, right? Yeah, I don't have to tell you that, but I'm going to anyway. Very easy. WWE has made a big push in terms of AAA on YouTube, and they've done good numbers. We don't really know how honest those numbers are, but at least you can see the total amount watching. So Tony Khan made the quick decision to push over to Philadelphia, or sorry, to YouTube for the show. And as of now, there's two different streams. What do they got? They put up two different ones. One has 178,000 views, and the other one has like 122,000, I believe. When we go to the live stream, yeah, one has 178,000 views, and then there's another one that's like 122,000 or something like that. So they pivoted, and of course, the first thing I'm thinking of when I see this was why aren't they on YouTube full time? If you think about Ring of Honor and Honor Club, at one point, well over a year ago, Tony Khan said, I think he said it had about 15,000 subscribers on to Honor Club. It may have been 12. It was 12 or 15. I can't imagine there's still that many to this point that have that same number. That people just over time is like, do I need this? It's another $10 a month. Now I got to pay for this, or I got to pay for this, or so on and so forth. So to me, you know, they've been putting more shows on Honor Club in terms of some of their weekly TVs, and now you have this glitch, which I think they should look at this and think, why isn't everything on YouTube when it comes to Ring of Honor? If you have 10,000 subscribers or eight, you know, you may over the course of a year, say it's, yeah, you know, they make a $1 million in gross revenue, right? Is that, could you make more on YouTube? Could you actually get more views and more people watching on YouTube, which then means more revenue, but also means you have, you can create a little bit more of a buzz because more people are able to see it. And then, you know, this TV contract that, you know, Tony Khan was talking about this week, which doesn't sound like it's happening anytime soon. And it sounds like he really wants WBD to be the ones to take it, which I think is a little bit suspect because if you look at WBE, they have like eight broadcast partners, spreading it around, relationships, all that. Tony Khan really seems to be focused on having his eggs in all one basket. And that basket is going to change and is getting split up as we've talked about here. So why not kind of go for it and say, okay, I'm going to get a TV deal somewhere else. Anyway, this at least gets out there saying, look how many views this is getting for us. You know, our quarterly shows are drawing 175,000 live viewers or 178,000 total, X amount live. You have some of that data and say, look, we can bring this over to you for X amount of $1 million a year. At least it kind of gets that buzz out there and you have it. You can point to it and say, this is what we're doing. As opposed to what? 10,000 people watching on Honor Club, and you're hoping that kind of gets that social buzz out there. I think this is one of those happy accidents that they can turn into something that is going to help, could help them out quite a bit. Do I expect that to happen? I don't know. Boy, I wish it would. I think it'd be good for them, and I think it'd be really good for their future as well. And yeah, Sammy Guevara, the big winner coming out of this, joining LIJ with Rush and Jalisco, and he's kind of been exiled on Ring of Honor since he came back from his latest injury. He's gone heel again, instant program with Dustin Rhodes once he comes back, which could be, you know, almost a year, if not more, with his double knee replacement surgery. And now he's a tag team champion again. And I think that was needed. Some refreshing there for Sammy Guevara. And we'll see what happens with Rush, and we'll see what happens with that group, but at least coming out of that, he and Paul Walter Hauser, a lot of buzz about him. Lots more to come. WWE coming up next. This is Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Come right back after this. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday, August 31st. My name is Josh Nason. No Clash in Paris talk on this show, if you're just tuning in, on the radio. However, you can get that on Wrestling Observer Radio and also the Brian Vinny Show or our YouTube channels for Wrestling Observer. Probably as you're listening to this, if you're driving around in your car, thank you very much. So plenty of talks will to come about that. We're going to talk about some other stuff on this show, including afternoon WWE shows. And when I say afternoon WWE shows, I mean like Clash in Paris, like Raw, like SmackDown. When they go to the UK, afternoon WWE in the East Coast is the absolute best. Number one, because you can get it done a couple hours and move on with your day. You can watch it while you work. You can just be on, and you don't have to commit hours of your night. It is so great. I watched SmackDown on Friday, did some news coverage for our website, helped out a little bit there. And I'm not a huge WWE watcher at night. However, these shows, again, they're during the workday. Everyone's gone, hopefully. You know, kids are out or whatever. Especially, you know, on a Sunday, you know, Labor Day is kind of tough. You know, if you have plans and all that. But look, if you don't, if you're one of those people like, we don't really do much Labor Day, get school starting, all this stuff. Clash in Paris started at two, and it's going to go to probably about 5 o'clock, and you're done. You move on, you have dinner, you can still barbecue, do all that stuff. Same with SmackDown on Friday. I was able to, again, go to that Queen show. Couldn't wait. Performers galore. I was able to do that with no issue. It is so great. And this has been a blessing of this Netflix deal and a nod toward how if you run live in other countries, show, and you have the capability to show it live, then do it. Now, obviously for a lot of United States viewers, they couldn't watch it because they had to wait until 8 o'clock to watch a show. Did not stop websites from spoiling it. We on our site, I'm not trying to white knight. I'm just trying to say that we work pretty hard to not spoil stuff. Obviously you have to kind of reveal some sort of idea of why someone should read what you're writing, but especially, you know, New Japan shows or, shows like SmackDown, there's a new U.S. champion crowned. We didn't put, you know, new United States champion crowned. So we were trying to be really careful with that. Other websites did not. I think WWE itself, I believe Triple H put out a tweet with Sami Zayn with the U.S. title, again, before it even aired on USA, which, you know, if I'm USA, this whole relationship is so fascinating to me, kind of how things are working there. So, but you have to, for those domestically, you have to, like I did, use a VPN and you watch it on Netflix overseas. Very easy to do. Super easy to do. And I read in Fightful today, actually. I don't know how accurate it is, but we'll say that they reported at least one source we spoke to at ESPN, quote unquote, wasn't thrilled by the VPN ad read on Stephanie McMahon's podcast, which I do not listen to. They didn't think it was going to be a major issue, though, because VPNs, you can very easily just watch wherever you want. I'm sure, you know, with USA, that these are things like if I'm a USA, can we stream it live at 2 o'clock as well? I mean, what do they have, like afternoon programming and then just rerun at 8? Why not do that? Why not try it and see how it does? But it's been a blessing of this Netflix deal that, you know, Raw for everyone is going to be on at, I believe, 2 o'clock on Monday. It's great. It's great. Absolutely great. So, of course, other promotions that are going overseas, AEW, they should do the same thing. They have the capabilities. They're running on TBS and TNT and Max. Run it when it airs live. Why not? Do an experiment. You do all these different experiments during weekends and playoff palooza and all these different types of things. Let's try it with actual live Dynamite when you go to Glasgow, Scotland, or these shows coming up in December. Well, they're running reruns and stuff. Just try something live. See if it works. Why not? Let's experiment. Let's have fun. Let's try something. That's what I'd love to see him try. Other thoughts from the weekend. Of course, this stood out to me. Randy Orton and Fireball. Now, if you've ever had Fireball whiskey, I believe it's considered a whiskey. It's an acquired taste. It's not something you're going to be, I think, pulling off the shelf and drinking with ice like a fine bourbon, like I like to have. But it's, you know, it's something you do with shots. Some of the young folk really in the past, you know, 10 or so years have really kind of pushed this thing forward. Randy Orton, of course, Fireball is a sponsor of WWE, and he was Adam Pearce. I keep saying Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce is on my mind today. You had Nick Aldis going up to Randy Orton and admonishing him for his RKO on the Hurricane. And during his segment with Drew McIntyre, and Randy Orton said, let's calm some things down, have Fireball, it's great. This was so cringe to me. Oh my God, it was so cringe. Just, I understand we have to do these ads, you know, the Slim Jim table and all these things. It's gross. I understand sponsor stuff, but it just feels like so kind of just really shoehorned in. And we've had these forever. WWE seems to do these worse than anyone, or really kind of just in your face. Everyone, you remember the zombie movie thing years ago with The Miz? You remember that? How awful that was. We've had other ones too. And I was trying to remember, there's been some AEW ones or TNA ones or something along the way. I'm sure they are. Hit me up at Josh Nason on Twitter or in Blue Sky, or email me Josh at F4W online. And let me know some of your ones that sponsor inclusion in pro wrestling that just seems way over the top, made you go, ugh, it's gross. Let's go over a few other things as we wrap the show up, wrap this this run up. I've had a lot of fun. I hope you have too. You can hear me on Josh Nason's Punch Out occasionally, trying to work on some things. Got a big run up, got a big year in review series that's starting up in November. So I'm starting to get things in a row for that. All right, let's get to this Dave and Brian argument from this past week. Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and Wrestling Observer Radio debating how AEW is going to perform against WWE Wrestlepalooza, a name I still can't believe that they went through with. It's just so not WWE. Palooza. It doesn't feel like WWE. You know, No Mercy, Judgment Day, Clash in Paris, all these type of things. Wrestlepalooza it sounds like ESPN came up with it and WWE's like, okay, we'll do that. It doesn't sound like WBPLE, but here we go. So if you missed it, I'll just go really briefly, like 30 seconds, maybe 40. Dave thinks that AEW is going to should be super happy if they get to 100,000 buys for All Out. That's going head-to-head with Wrestlepalooza, Cena versus Lesnar. I'm sure a loaded card. Brian says, well, the hardcores are going to buy no matter what. So you may get hit a little bit, but really the hardcores are going to carry this. And if they're going to watch WWE, they're not going to watch till the next day. I can see both sides of the argument. Dave is saying, well, ESPN is going to put the hard press on this, which they absolutely are. This is their way to get subscribers for the first time from a potentially brand new audience and WWE fans that are scoffing already. The ones that can't get it for free, the ones that pay $30 a month or $300 for a year. They're saying, why should I buy this? Why do I need this service in my life? And this is going to be the way to prove it. Is there a big crossover between traditional sports fans and WWE? We're going to find out. Interesting times ahead. But Dave's saying they're putting the big press on this and they're going to make this must-see as possible. I don't know if it's going to be WrestleMania, but it's going to be like SummerSlam adjacent, I'd say, for this first show. Maybe not always, but this one, I think absolutely they're going to make the hard push of you watch this, because as much as WWE is interested in taking down AEW or really kind of opposing them, what they really care about is making ESPN happy. And they need a big show out the gate. So for this, as much as it's about AEW, it is so much about ESPN and making their new partner happy, who's taking this deal on 7 months earlier. And if this thing flops, which I don't think it will, they need good adoption. And you know, that's not a great start, but I think they're going to need big adoption. They're going to do everything in their power, both sides, ESPN and WWE, to make that happen. I'm interested to see especially how the service performs. And by saying that, I mean that as has happened with so many times with pay-per-views and all this stuff, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. If you know you're going to buy something, just commit to it early. Don't do it 5 minutes before because all these other people are doing the same thing and you're going to have problems that could jam things up. ESPN has been rightfully criticized for their UFC pay-per-views, especially early on, the Conor McGregor pay-per-view, the first one, when he made his return, the system got completely overloaded and people couldn't watch it and they were pissed. Are they going to run the same issue now? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if they're going to do the, on WWE TV, if they're going to do the sign up early and don't wait till the last second. And we'll see how that reaction goes if that happens. VPNs, people are going to be watching on Netflix and it's going to be, this whole thing is super interesting to me. But how will AEW perform? Brian's saying that the hardcores are going to be there. So this year, here's an estimated AEW pay-per-view buys. This is from Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer newsletter throughout the year. Revolution in March at between 135 to 140,000. Dynasty, 110 to 120. Double or Nothing, 122 to 130. All In, 180 to 185. That was an afternoon show. And Forbidden Door, which is a slightly earlier afternoon show in the East Coast, rather. Forbidden Door, 122 to 130. My opinion, I think it's going to be in that dynasty range, if not lower. But I wouldn't be surprised. I think it can get over 100 for sure, especially if it's a really good card. But yeah, I think it's going to be on that lower tier with Dynasty and not necessarily the Forbidden Door, the upper tier. Just going by just common sense and kind of what you think. I don't know how many people watch both, but I think there's a lot of ways you can watch both. And watch what you need to. You know, unless it's a card you're super interested in from top to bottom, are you going to watch another 3 hours the next day? Probably not. You could watch it that night. I'm sure some people may watch back to back, or they may just say, "Yeah, I'm going to watch one. I'm interested in the Lesnar thing." Or they may be so turned off by the fact Lesnar's there that may say, I'm good. Why do I care about this? I do have one prediction, again, without seeing none of Clash in Paris, in terms of Brock Lesnar and John Cena when the announcement's going to be made. I predict Brock Lesnar is going to be on the Monday Night Football set coming up a week from this Monday. That's where the announcement's going to be made. He's not going to be asked any questions. He's not going to be interrogated or expected to answer questions about the Vince McMahon lawsuit or anything like that. My prediction is that Brock Lesnar versus John Cena will be announced next Monday on ESPN. So it'll be fascinating to see. I can see both arguments. I don't think AEW is going to be hurt that much, maybe by 10 or 20,000. I'll go, I think that dynasty range is probably good. If you get between 110, 120, I think that's not too bad considering the competition. When we come back in just a minute or so, a couple minutes, we'll go to the schedule the rest of the week and we'll bid you adieu for the summer. I read some books. I have, you guys book readers out there? Hope so. Summer reading. I've read The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. I have read I Want My MTV. I cannot remember the two authors. It is a massive oral history about MTV and the creation, which I found super fascinating. It's like 500 some odd pages. It took me a long time to read, but I read that. And I am reading 100 Things We've Lost to the Internet, which is if you're in your 40s or above, you have to get this book. It's like $5 on Kindle. It came out last year. I cannot remember the author's name. She's used to be an opinion writer for the New York Times. I think she's with the Wall Street Journal now. Fascinating stuff. 100 Things We've Lost to the Internet. And then after that, or in concurrence to that, I have to finish up reading the Mark Raimondi NWO book and probably Guy Evans' Nitro sequel book. I'm going to read that as well. More book talk and a schedule and more ahead coming up in just a minute. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Come right back after this. Final segment, Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, August 31st. My name is Josh Nason. Let's look at the week ahead, as we always do, sponsored by no one except myself. So obviously with Clash of Paris today, that's already done. Raw on Monday on the Flix starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Love it. We have NXT Tuesday at 8 on the C-Dub. AEW Dynamite at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. Did you hear about the... Actually, I'll talk about AEW in a second. Ring of Honor, TNA on Thursday. TNA TV tapings on Friday and Saturday. SmackDown Friday, and then AEW Collision Live on Saturday, and nothing on Sunday. Blessed be. Day for all of us just to get away from wrestling just for a little bit. AEW, as I was about to say on Dynamite for Wednesday, just announced essentially a three-hour show, or it's listed for a three-hour show, leading into All Out. So it'll be a one-hour Collision after a two-hour Dynamite. So again, another three-hour block there coming up. And Wednesday, they're also doing like a special tailgate edition of the show, a pre-show leading into All Out. So you're having that. So more and more graps in wrestling. So I guess essentially there's renaming or repurposing hour of the pre-show. So we'll hear more about that, of course, as the weeks to come. Really quick, want to give a big thanks to everyone at Sports Byline, especially Bailey Peck, who is a producer. I've been great in working with on Sundays. This is my last Sunday for who knows how long. Andrew's Aaron returns next Sunday. So a big thanks to him for giving me the green light to do this. And yeah, I simply just asked. I said, you know, you're going to be gone for a bit. So this show has meant a lot to me through my decades coming up in wrestling and so on. So I was able to fill in, and I'm glad to do this. What a dream it's been. And I greatly appreciate all the time and people listening and tuning in on wherever you're listening to this. Let me know on social, Twitter, Blue Sky, and all that. And hope to give you a little bit of a break from the norm and enjoy wrestling as I do, and a lot more to come. Hopefully I'll talk to you more this year, Josh Nason's Punch Out, or in this very show. But for now, we're done. My name is Josh Nason, and this has been Wrestling Observer Live.